2 Timothy chapter 4 is where we are. We're now in verse 7 of this chapter, and I have been preaching a series entitled No Fear. We began this series starting in verse number 6, where Paul says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." And then we went into verse 7, "I have fought a good fight." And before we're over with, through with this series, we'll get all the way through, "I have kept the faith," and then we will probably be preaching on verse 8 about the reward that Paul is talking about here. Now, last Sunday in this series, we preached the third part of the No Fear message, and that was the one, No Fear of Past Failures, where Paul says here in verse 7, "I have fought a good fight." We've already covered No Fear of Dying and Death in verse number 6. No Fear of Past Failures revealed to us that Paul was satisfied that he had fought a good fight. Past failures, if any, and I'm sure there were, as Paul was as much a human as we are, or as any of us, these were not an issue, though, with his life. I believe that if he did have failures, he repented of them immediately and just went on. There was too much else to do. It was Paul who wrote to the church at Rome in Romans chapter 8, verse 33, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also made an intercession for us." And then says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" So Paul had no fear of any past failures cropping up and accusing him. There wasn't any fear in Paul for his past failures, predominantly because it had already been nailed to Calvary. Ain't that a good thing today? I mean, there's much probably in all of our lives in the past that sometimes the devil uses to really knock us around. But if our sins have been nailed to the cross, if they've been plunged in the blood of Jesus, God remembers them no more. There is no record in heaven of them. Can you say amen? So when he says, "I've fought a good fight," he fought against devils, he fought against himself, he fought against his ego, he fought against his flesh, he fought a lot of different enemies, and he says, "I've fought a good fight." The past failures that may have occurred in any of that are gone. Looking back on his work then, for the bottom of a dungeon, he looks at his work for the Lord and the gospel, and he is confident there would be no future reprisals for any of those past failures. And that's the subject of today's message. Paul had no fear of future reprisals. Look at verse 7. The second part says, "I have finished my course." He had fought a good fight throughout his mission for Christ. And he says now, it's over. I have crossed the finish line. I'm done. It's complete. He's ready to be offered. Check. The time of his departure is at hand. Check. He has fought a good fight. Check. And now he's finished the course. Check that great house in order checklist that we all should be concerned with was complete. And he only had one thing left to do, and that is to have no fear, if you would, of judgment, which is next Sunday's message, "I have kept the faith." Gone is the fear of dying. Gone is the fear of death. Gone is the fear of past failures. And now gone is the fear of future reprisals. The sound of the executioner sharpening his blade could not scare him. What lay beyond the death veil could not scare him. Failures of the past would not cost him any sleep. And he certainly would not be sitting in that dungeon wringing his hands over standing before a righteous judge. He had finished his course. what Christ had purposed for him to be and to do before the foundations of the world, he had completed. And now all he had to do was sit back and wait for the elect angels to carry him home in a moment and in a twinkling of an eye. And that's what it'd be. Oh, yes. You know, they may have covered his eyes when they cut his head off. But then again, they may have put him face up to watch the executioner's blade come down. But my friends, I'll tell you today, if that was the case, it was just a fleeting nanosecond. And he was in the arms of Christ in the halls of glory, residing amongst the pure and the faithful, enjoying the blisses of the wafting waves of singing and song and rejoicing, and the glorious sound of the angels as they gathered around with all the hosts who had gone before him to welcome him home. He had finished his course. Now, a study of Paul and what he means here by of him finishing the course, finds that Paul used this finish the course as kind of a metaphor or a figure of speech. He's using this kind of as the subject of analogy. If you study Paul's letters, it becomes very apparent that Paul saw his work as a race. Just as he had used the metaphor of fighting a fight in the first part of verse number 7, now he uses a metaphor of a race to describe what he's been doing all these years in his work. If you'll turn to the Philippians, which is just a few pages back, turn to the book of Philippians, and look at chapter 3, verse 14, we see that Paul here tells the folks at Philippi, chapter 3, verse 14, that he has been pressing toward the mark and will press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. Just as a runner would run for the tape, for the finish line. Pressing always forward, never looking back. Paul says he had been pressing forward for the mark of the prize, the high calling of God in Christ. If you can, real quick, flip on back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We've read these verses several times last Sunday and the week before that concerning how Paul saw things. He says here in chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians verse 24, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize?" And he tells the saints at Corinth, "So run that you may obtain." In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, he says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." And what he means there is that he is studious and he's a trainer. And what he does is he watches himself. A good runner is going to be out there every day training. He's going to watch his diet. He's going to watch his health that he might obtain. And look at that verse 25, the second part. "They do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." In other words, run to get the right crown, the right prize. And in verse 26, he says, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly." In other words, I'm not just running willy-nilly or there. He says, "So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. I'm running with purpose. I'm pressing toward the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ," or high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then turn to Hebrews. We see how Paul has used this metaphor by what he says to the Hebrews in chapter 12, verse 1 of Hebrews. Hebrews is in the New Testament there. You can go to Revelation, flip back to it, or go right directly to it if you've got tabs. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And there he says to those folks, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And so here we see in these particular letters, the Philippians, Corinthians, and Hebrews, that Paul, in his last written words in Timothy, is using an analogy of a race. "I've finished the race," he might have said in verse number 7. I finished my course, that the Lord has laid out for me. I've pressed toward that prize, and I'm going to get it, verse number 8. He says, I'm going to receive a crown. Now, certainly that's what all racers are trying to do, is finish the course. And as Christians, we want to finish the course. The course that Christ has laid out for us. Listen, understand today that every one of you that are followers of Jesus Christ have a purpose. And for a surety, I've told you on many, many occasions that our purpose as believers is the spreading of the gospel. And we want to narrow it down. Our cause is to find the elect. Now, once again, let me say this. The elect does not have a stamp on their foreheads that we can single them out. And they're not even wearing a t-shirt that says, I'm elect on it. They are in the world. They are lost and undone without Jesus. And we go find them by preaching the gospel indiscriminate to every man. So our lives are to portray who we know and who we follow. It's Jesus Christ. We are the visible, vibrant vision of Christ in the world. And we're running a race. We're running against time. We're running against the devil. We're running against ourselves. We're running against the world. They're all in the business of trying to attract men's attentions with all the glitter and glamour that leads to hell. And we're trying to stop them from going there. Really and truly, you're a blockade. You're a blockade to these folks. This church is a blockade to these people here if they won't overrun it. We got a sign out there, Providence Baptist Church. They know it's a church here. They see our cars parked here Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and other meetings. As they go down up and down Highway 11 out here, out from the church, they see our signs that we have posted pointing to the church. The internet has a place in there for us. We got a site for Providence Baptist Church. We're on Sermon Audio. Folks all up and down the world talk about us. And so we are a vibrant, visible vision, and I mean a viable vision of Christ to the world. And Paul tells us that he has finished his course. Go with 2 Timothy chapter 1. And Paul is saying this to his young protege in the faith to help him finish his course. In chapter 1, 2 Timothy verse 12, Paul says that he is suffering all these things in this race. He says, but I'm not ashamed. I know whom I have believed and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now, Paul is talking most certainly about his salvation. But in the same sense, I believe that Paul here is also speaking about a manner of running this course. See, there's three things that Paul is doing here when he's running this course. Number one, he's running for Christ. He's, secondly, running for all those whom he has preached the gospel to, who have come to know Christ and are in these churches. He's running for the saints. But lastly, he is running for you and I. Because what he does in running his course will become a canon in this scripture. Excuse me, a part of the canon of this scripture. And we will read these things and they will then train us and strengthen us that we might run the course. And we will not be ashamed when we get to heaven because we will have finished what Christ has called us to do by what Paul did in his running. As a matter of fact, today what you'll find is if you go back in time, you would find a lot of people in your past who have run the course for you. You might say that it's a marathon. And then again, what you might say is it could be one of those races where they pass the baton. A relay race. One person runs a quarter of the course and passes it on to another runner. He runs another quarter and they pass it to another runner and he runs another quarter or a lap, whatever the case may be, until that last one gets the baton and he crosses the finish line. There were those who had run the course for Paul, and Christ was the main one. Christ has ran our course for us. And as a result, we now are in the race. And there will be a time when we will complete our course and the baton will be passed to someone else. I know for a certainty that Paul is now passing it on to Timothy. But Paul has more axes to grind than just pass a baton here. Paul is actually, in a real sense of it, speaking of leaving a legacy. And doing so that points to Christ. I have finished my course. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse number 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. When I was in high school in Chicago, we didn't get report cards. We got a course book. Anybody get a course book in high school? Anybody? Remember the course books? Some of us got them, but what it was, is was a book just full of grading pages. And every year, they would list your subjects in there that you were taking, the courses that you were going to take. That's why it's called a course book. And they would put your grades in there every 10 weeks, 9 weeks, whatever the grading session was. And then they would tear out a copy of it for you, and then they'd keep the course book for the next season. So all 4 years that you were in high school, you had a course book. Oh, by the way, Mom and Daddy had to sign it. And you brought it back. And by the time you got around to your senior year, that thing was just absolutely dog-eared. But anyway, at the end of the 4 years, you would get your diploma that says that you had completed your coursework. Now, no doubt, if you were able to check up on a lot of people, you would find that some folks may have cheated to get their grades. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul speaks of this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Starting in verse 9, Paul says, "For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building," Paul says in verse 9. Then Paul says, "According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder," he says, "I have laid the foundation here at Corinth and another builder thereon, but let every man take heed how he builds upon this foundation. For no other foundation can any man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus." Christ Jesus is the foundation. Paul says over in chapter 2 that he knew only one thing amongst all them, and that is to preach Christ and Him crucified. He had endeavored to know nothing else but that, and he had endeavored to preach nothing else but that. And so he has laid the foundation of Jesus Christ to the folks at Corinth. Now, in verse 12, he says, "Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Now understand what we're seeing in verse 12 is the types of building materials that are placed on that foundation. One is gold, silver, and precious stones. The other three are wood, hay, and stubble. The first three are good works. The last three are bad works. And if fire is put to any cities, we know that the gold and the silver and the precious stones only get pure, only get better with fire. But wood, hay, and stubble go up in smoke. In a sense, when Paul lists wood, hay, and stubble, you can almost say that those folks, though they be Christians, have tried to cheat a little bit. It don't take nothing to find wood, hay, and stubble. But my friend, it takes genuine work to bring gold, silver, and precious stones. There was some folks who tried to cheat in the Boston Marathon. You know anything about the Boston Marathon? I'm sure you've heard of it. It's the oldest marathon there is. It was started in 1897, and it's ran on the first Monday in April every year. Not only that, it draws 500,000 spectators every year, with 26,895 people registered to run in that race in 2011, this past year. The greatest number they ever had to run that race was 38,708 in 1996. That's a lot of people. That's more people than there are in Giles County that entered that race. All of Giles County could have went and ran in the marathon and still not surpassed that number. The race course is 28.22 miles in length. And it's not a race for everybody. In fact, you had to have a good qualifying race in another marathon of equal merit before you can get into the Boston Marathon. Of course, as I said, there's always those who want to bend the rules or cheat a little bit. And back in April of 1980, there was a woman by the name of Rosie Ruiz. She was the first woman to cross the finish line that day in that race. And her victory in record time was certainly suspicious. And come to find out, there were some boys who said that they saw her jump out of some bushes along the raceway not too far from the finish line and cross. She had cheated. She had not run that entire 28 miles. Few people believed her story and she was disqualified. But the lady who did win, her last name was Garreau. I didn't find her first name. But anyway, she didn't get the proper medal that day because Rosie had got it. And so they let her have her medal eventually after all the investigation was done 25 years later. Now, one of the things they found out about Rosie Ruiz, who cheated in that race, that she had cheated once before. In 1979 in the New York City Marathon, she had a decent time, but they found out that she had run a few hundred yards, then took a subway train to an area near the finish line, illegally re-entered the race, and finished 26th. So that she had qualified for the Boston Marathon, she was going to win that bad boy one way or the other. But she cheated. When you look at this, we don't want to cheat. Wood, hay, and stubble, my friends, is works that have no merit. It's just a get-by. We've had folks that have come here, and though they've had runners in the past who have ran for them, they want to take the easy way out. Every church has them. It ought not be so. We ought to love the Lord our God with such an incredible love that we're willing to do whatever it takes, give whatever we're supposed to for His glory and His praise, and for the salvation of sinners who are our future brothers and sisters. I tell you something, we're going to find one day that we are really going to have a situation on our hand where we'll stand empty-handed and have nothing to give our Lord. We'll make it in, but while others are casting crowns at the feet of our Savior in gratitude and thankfulness, we'll be standing aside wishing we could be up there with them. Because that's what we're going to do with our rewards. We're getting these rewards so we can glorify Him for what He's done for us. To praise Him for what He's done for us. Secondly, we must remember here why we're running. This race course, believe it or not, is actually very short. Very, very short. I don't know why it is I do this. I don't know. It's just one of those things I like to do. Every Wednesday I open our paper over there where I live and I look through it and I stop to read the obituaries. My dad said he did to see if his name was there. I've not gotten that far yet. But I read to see if there's anybody I know. Do any of y'all do that? You ever read the paper to see if you know anybody? This morning we got our Sunday paper and I looked in there to see if I knew anybody. I didn't know a soul. Thank goodness I didn't know anyone in there. But the Bible says that we've only been promised, actually, 70 years of living. Now, depending on when you got saved, that means from the point you got saved until you leave here, whenever that is, that's the time that you have to work good works, to perform things for the Lord, to give for Him. We have a sad situation going on in Christendom today. Most folks are running a race whereby they accumulate. They want to accumulate things here and in the now. But from what I understand, you don't get to take a thing with you when you leave here. As a matter of fact, I think there are some folks who have been hanging out near the cemetery thinking that folks are going to leave all the goods and money that belong to those folks in the ground right by their graves. And yet, I've not ever seen anything. Have anybody ever seen a Cadillac parked next to a grave? I never have. If you do, please tell me. I'd like to have a shot at it because I kind of like Cadillacs, though I don't have one. But think about it. Look how fast time goes by. Finishing a course for the Lord ought to entail the fact that we have for us these good works, that we might leave here something for the next runner and then go there and have a reward that we might cast at the feet of our Lord and Savior. Not a future reprisal. Look there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm almost finished. Look there at verse number 13. Every man's work shall be made known. That's what that word manifest means. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. In other words, that work will be tested by fire to see what kind of work it is. And that's for every man, every woman, every boy and girl who claims the name of Christ. Now, if that work that you've done stands the test of the fire, then you'll receive a reward. But folks, verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, it shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, remember I told you that Paul was running for Christ. He was running for the saints, and he was running for the saints to come. Actually, in all three, he's running for Christ. Now, he says in chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians that these that are running are not running for a corruptible crown, but an incorruptible crown. A crown that says, I have fought a good fight, I have finished the course, and then next Sunday we'll get into, I have kept the faith. And all three of those things, Paul has showed no fear of past failure. He's pressed on. He here shows no fear of future reprisals. And then he's going to show no fear of judgment. Why? Because he is fulfilled. He's finished that course. Now that's a key word. Finish the course. That just doesn't mean that he just crossed the finish line. That was the end of it. When Paul says finish the course, what he's talking about, that everything that was on that course that was necessary for him to do, that Christ had appointed him to do, he had completed. And not only that, those that Christ had been given by the Father that Paul was to go and preach to, he had preached to. And now with confidence, he is going to leave this world free and clear of all encumbrances and have absolutely nothing but joy in his mouth, in his heart, in his mind of his past race, the Lord. What about you? What kind of race are you running? Some of y'all just got started. You've just been handed the baton. Some of you have been running for some time. And you're going to have to handle your baton and then hand it off. As you ran your race, have you ran well? Have you found some folks to pass your baton to? Because that's what we do when we preach Jesus, witness to the fact of Christ. When we show people that we're followers of Him, we're passing the baton. I still got a bag of batons. I'm still passing them out every chance I get. Oh, how I'm so thankful that I'm able to still run. I once knew a man who was passing out batons. And he handed one to me. Ted got one that day too. We've been trying to run as faithfully as we can to finish the course and pass the baton. To go the whole distance in the marathon for the Lord. At this point, I don't have any fear at all of future reprisals. You know why? Jesus has paid it all. But I want to be able to go to Christ and lay at His feet a crown. I want to hear Him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I want to make you ruler over many." That ought to be the desire of every Christian. We've got to see these things in the big picture, folks. Not as this little old cramped cube of this existence here. There's nothing here. We're laying up treasures in that home above. Down here, rust eats it up. Moth eats it up. Up there, it's permanent. And that's what we want to do. My grand design is just be able to point all those who maybe I've had a little influence over and God has used me in their salvation to point them to Christ and say, "Don't give me the accolades. He did it all for me and you." No fear of future reprisals. No fear of past failures either. Coming up next Sunday, no fear of judgment. Let's pray.